the teachers, and you and Yago works with kids who have filed methods, or whatever you call it.
Of course, I just want to say, apropos of the Shiloh that was asked yesterday about sex change operations, I just want to mention that although the overwhelming majority of poskim say that a sex change operation has no effect, and if a man is changed into a woman, he continues to be a man. If a woman is changed into a man, she continues to be a woman. And that's what I said yesterday. I do want to say that the Tzitz Eliezer is cholik. The Tzitz Eliezer says that although it is prohibited to engage in such an operation does change a person's gender. So that would, it's a das yochid, but I just wanted to tell you that there is such an opinion. Anyway, we were talking about the chait of the meraglim, and again, the last time we were looking at the machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban, if the sending of the meraglim itself is a lack of emuna, or is the sending of the meraglim a reasonable hishtadlus? That's what the Ramban says. And the Netziv has a compromise position, where the Netziv says, ideally, it was a sin that they needed that type of thing, but if they asked, then they have to have it. Meaning, this is a very interesting idea, that the degree to which Hashem takes care of you is a function of the depth of your emunah. The greater your emunah, the less you have to do to get Hashem's bracha. The less emunah you have, the more you're going to have to. So in a way, it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't believe Hashem will take care of you exactly, then He won't. It's like He responds exactly to your level of emunah. Okay. But be it as it may, this is a machlokas regarding the sending of the meraglim. But everybody admits the one thing that is sinful, of course, is the meraglim's report. And the fact that the Jewish people, the night of Tisha B'Av, that's when the Meraglim came back on the 8th of Av, they give their report, and that night, the whole congregation cried, except for the women. And because of this, it was Nigzar that generation would die over the next 39 years, and only Yehoshua and Kaleb would go in. We'll talk more about that later. But the question we want to focus on is that Rashi himself says that the people that Moshe Rabbeinu chose to be spies were chashuvim, they were tzaddikim, they were righteous. How could it be that people who were righteous and great in emunah should falter and should not believe that Hashem will take care of them? How do you understand the chait of the meraglim? And what about the Jewish people themselves? The Jewish people had experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim, the 10 Makos, they had experienced Kriyas Yamsuf, they had experienced Matan Torah. Okay, there was a little detour with the Chet HaEgel, you know, but be it as it may, but they had seen, they have the man coming down every day. How could it be that they don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of them? So there is a common, so actually the Zohar HaKadosh actually says a strange thing. The Zohar HaKadosh actually says that the Meraglim didn't want to, the reason they gave a negative report is they were afraid that once they come to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to lose their jobs. So they had positions in the desert. They didn't know what their positions would be there. Okay, that's a very mudnazach. But there is a mahalich, there is an approach that is said by many, many meforshim in slightly different ways. The Malbim, Rav Hirsch, the Netziv. And it basically says the following. The basic approach of these meforshim is that the Meraglim's Kavana was L'Shem Shemayim. And here the important thing to look at is the difference between